Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. It's time for our spring membership drive. More about that in just a minute. And it's time, by the way, for some spring. Hint, hint, Mother Nature. Still, if you can see beyond the flurries, daffodils have bloomed, tulips are popping up, ornamental flowering, trees are already bursting with color in many neighborhoods, and we're talking about spring gardening today. Joining us is Ohio's garden sage, author, teacher, lecturer, and blogger, Deborah Kanapke. Welcome back, Deborah.
Nice to be here, as always.
Always one of my favorite hours on any given week is with Deborah Kanapke. I hope that you feel the same way. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. This is our spring membership drive. Remember, listener support is the foundation of our budget. Please make your gift right now at WOSU.org or by calling 866-897-9678. For a membership of $10 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $120, you can get a very special offer. Get a ticket for an All Sides with Ann Fisher exclusive event. We're calling it Drinks and Dirt. On Thursday, May 17th from 7 to 8 p.m., join me and Deb Kanapke for a special Q&A session. Have some drinks and light hors d'oeuvres and make your own spring planter to take home. And the spring planter will feature some edible flowers. This is member exclusive, only for those who donate to All Sides this hour. Don't miss this chance to have a great night out while supporting public radio. That's $10 a month as a sustaining member. There are more details about the event at WOSU.org or by calling 866-897-9678. And thanks to Ann Bateman in Dublin for your pledge. Thanks for your show of support, Ann Bateman. Now, the rest of you, I know you're going to have questions. You're going to have comments about spring gardening today. That's what we're talking about. And we welcome them, of course. So if you go ahead and just make that call right now, you can focus on the program. 866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Gosh, Deb. What a weird weather thing we've had.
This, well, you know, I'm seeing all kinds of things on Facebook. This is the 105th day of January. You know? And I'm just seeing all these little memes go all over
right.
About the weather. And I was on the phone with a colleague in Canada, in Ontario, and her power went out. So she had to call me back on her cell phone because she was on her landline. And two of my colleagues in Michigan both lost power. In different parts of Michigan,
right.
They had winds that were crazy.
Right.
So it has just been. Oh, then a colleague in the Boston area had the snow like crazy over the winter, and it keeps flurrying there too. So I think Mother Nature just isn't done with us yet. And
right.
The forsythia has been in bloom, for heaven's sakes.
Right.
And it's usually the three snows after, according to the Farmer's Almanac. But here we are seeing flurries again.
And it's going to warm up
cold.
A little bit, and
mm-hmm.
It's going to, you know, maybe get cold again by next week. We did have a nice weekend, though. I did a lot of weeding.
So did I. And not only that,
I had to do the weeding because I couldn't face you today if I hadn't done my weeding.
I planted asparagus.
Well, yay you.
I planted asparagus. I was going to plant
don't
my peas.
Don't you already have an asparagus plot?
I do, but it's too far away from the house, and I'm now doing some more intensive gardening things closer to the house.
Oh, okay.
I changed over an area to put food in it, and I love my ornamentals, but in this one area, the ornamentals got moved out, and the asparagus got moved in.
Okay.
Plus, I had to have the purple asparagus.
Oh, you had to change it up.
I changed it up. It's
okay.
Called Purple Passion.
How when can does you... it? Now, you're not going to get it for a couple years, right?
Yeah, I won't harvest this year. Yeah. I'll let it grow up and be nice and shrubby, bushy, but... Yeah, Purple Passion. How can you not plant asparagus with a name like that?
I agree. If you have a question about spring gardening for Deborah Kanapke, this is the time to call. The number is 614-292-8513. Or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. If you want to show your support for All Sides with Ann Fisher and 89.7 NPR News, the number is 866-897-9678. So it's weed, weed, weed.
Oh, yeah.
You've been digging into the bitter wintercress.
Mm-hmm.
But what is, again, that moundy.
Yeah, that's the bitter wintercress.
Yeah, that's just, it comes out easily.
Or it's actually winter bittercress.
Winter bittercress.
Yeah, it's a bittercress, and it's the winter one because it blooms and grows in winter at any moment.
Okay, well, you wrote down bitter wintercress.
I know, that's my fault. I apologize to all the folks out there that I misled Anne. But
I know.
I sent you that.
It looks kind of nice at first.
Oh, it's
cute.
Remember
when I first brought this up like four or 5 years ago and said, oh, I'm getting these mounds. What is that? And you're like, pull it everywhere you can find it. Pull it all.
It makes a gazillion seeds.
Right.
I've been pulling it. But I think it's here to stay. Yeah. I just take it down to a dull roar.
Yeah.
So that it's not the only thing in my garden this time of year. It also... I don't know if it's like its close relative garlic mustard, where it will exude chemicals into the soil that decrease growth in other plants. That's what garlic mustard does.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if the bittercress does that too. I haven't heard that it does, but just in case.
I've only seen three or four bunches of garlic mustard. It's been, and I'm not sure, is this just, it hasn't come totally into season yet, or if it was big, I'd be seeing it by now a lot more?
Because it's in small mounds, very small mounds, and it's a little bit delayed this year. I was pulling it, but I'm pretty good about getting it off my property, so whatever I get is seed that blows in or comes in on something else.
I like to think that I've kind of been working so hard this past 12 years on the garlic mustard that I'm finally have it under control a little bit.
And now's the time to look for it.
Yeah.
Because you want to get it out before
it flowers.
It flowers.
Yes.
Yeah. And then break it apart, put it in the compost pile.
In the bad compost.
Actually, if it doesn't have seeds, I put it in the good compost pile because the chemicals that are in it are neutralized by the organisms that are in the compost pile.
What about the winter bittercress?
If I get them when they're in just the moundy stage and have not started to flower, I will put them in the good compost pile. But everything I'm taking out now is in the bad compost pile.
I don't have a good compost pile anymore. I just have a bad compost pile. What do you do with a bad compost pile?
I just let it sit there.
Sit there.
I don't do anything with it. It just sits there and is one with the world.
Okay.
Supposedly, if I could heat it up to 140, 150 degrees, I would kill most of the seed and I would kill diseases that are in it because that's where all my tomatoes go, is the bad compost pile. But it's a passive pile. So while it sometimes gets a little warm, it's never really heated up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I haven't encouraged it to do so.
What about chickweed? Now, that's an edible spring.
That's an edible.
How do you know what that is?
Well, it has little, the leaves are somewhat, elliptical, heart-ish shape.
Okay.
Not totally heart. And the little tiny flowers that they have, its name is Stellaria, no, I can't remember the specific epithet, but like stars. And it's in the same family as dianthus.
Okay.
As carnations. Mm-hmm. And so it has these little tiny white flowers, like really tiny, like a 16th of an inch. And they're these little, they look like little dianthus flowers, little carnations.
Oh.
And they're very tiny. And they're just, I've seen buds on some of my chickweed. You want to eat your chickweed before those flowers fully bloom. Again, it starts getting bitter because it's sending all the good stuff to the flowers and eventual lots of seed production. It is an annual. So I let some of it go to seed in certain areas and other areas I take it out.
Thanks to Jessica and Alexander River Bethel in Columbus for your pledge of support. Remember, it is members like Jessica and Alexander who help us bring you programs like this that we're bringing to you today. This Hour of All Sides is all about plants and gardening and getting your spring garden ready to go. And this is our spring membership drive. Support a talk show that is truly local. Only on 89.7 NPR News do you get access to all of this great gardening information from Deborah Kanapke. And you have the chance to ask her questions too. And we are offering you a great thank you gift. We are really having a blast with these get-togethers every year now. For $10 a month as a sustainer, you get a ticket for a special night of drinks and dirt. It is Thursday, May 17th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Fawcett Center on the OSU campus. Parking is provided. It's right here where all of our studios are. We try to squeeze in a few tours if you feel like it. The event opens with a question and answer session led by me with Deb Kanapke, with a focus on spring plants. From there, Deb and I demonstrate how to make a spring planter featuring edible flowers. I kind of more like your lovely assistant. Each guest receives we make it work. Each guest receives all the materials and hands-on instruction to create your very own planter, and drinks and light hors d'oeuvres will be served. It will be a great evening out, and I can't wait to hang out with our members, people who love public media and gardening. Become a member, pardon me, at $10 a month or a one-time gift of $120 and get a ticket to join us for drinks and dirt. Call your friends, make the arrangements right now. You're going to want to, you know, make sure that, you know, you can get a friend to go with you, but you don't have to. We talk to everybody. I'll be there. Deb will be there. Will you join us? Spend a fun night with fans of 89.7 NPR News and All Sides with Ann Fisher. Don't miss this one-of-a-kind experience for WOSU members only. That's $10 a month as a sustainer for a ticket. And we have a limited number of tickets. Get that gift in early if you want to go. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678.
It would make a lovely Mother's Day gift.
That's absolutely right. Yes, bring your mother. Mm-hmm. Do you have a mother who loves to garden? Maybe you don't want to go, but maybe your mother would like to. That's a great idea. Right after Mother's Day, so mm-hmm. It would make a perfect gift for mother on Mother's Day. Thanks to Nicholas Schroeder in New York City for your pledge.
Thank you.
Proof that people listen from all over the place. If you listen from out of town, we would. You're part of our community as well. We'd love to have you show your support for 89.7 NPR News, just like Nicholas Schroeder did from New York City. 866-897-9678 is the number to call. Or go to WOSU.org. We'll talk more about our event later on in the program. Right now, I want to turn to a caller who has a question. Lindsay in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi. I live in an apartment, and so I had some pots out on my patio. The kale did great. The tomato, not so much. So I was wondering if you had suggestions on the type of tomato that would do well in a pot on the patio.
Well, depending on the size of the pot, you might look at what are called the determinant tomatoes, the ones that stay smaller. The challenge with the indeterminants, like my favorite Cherokee Purple, is they get too tall and you have to have some type of staking system to keep them contained, and also as they grow up. So that might be part of the issue. The other issue is that tomatoes like freely draining soil, and when you water every day, that soil in your container compacts. So you might need to fluff it up or break up that crust that forms on the top from time to time, and give them, they like compost tea, and they also like compost in the mix.
What do you mean compost tea?
Compost tea, I take a couple handfuls of compost. This is very technical.
Okay.
I put it in a bucket and I add water. I swirl it and let it sit for overnight, and then use all of that all of the water. I strain it into a bucket and use that water and put it on the leaves and then in the soil. And then the compost I just spread either on top in the garden somewhere, whatever, or make another bucket of compost tea from the same compost, although it's weaker than the first amount. Professionals will put an aerator in for 24 hours and keep it swirling. And that is supposedly the perfect way to make compost tea. But I'm lazy. I don't have an aerator.
That's
just put it in my bucket.
Yeah,
I put it in my bucket at night and then use it the next day.
Does that help, Lindsay?
I used a determinant. I just didn't fluff up the soil and make compost tea.
Yeah, well,
so I will try.
Yeah, they're
that.
Heavy feeders. They're
and
heavy
you're
feeders.
Plenty of sun, of course.
Yeah, it's in the sunny spot. Yeah.
Oh, good.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
All right,
you.
Lindsay.
You're welcome.
Bet. If you have a question or comment for Deb Kanapke, 614-292-8513. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. Thanks to Mitchell Rose in Worthington for your pledge of support today. I hope you're coming to join us for the Drinks and Dirt event on May 17th. It's a Thursday night from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Fawcett Center on the OSU campus. We'll talk about that more in just a minute. Right now, we're talking about spring gardening with Deborah Kanapke. So give us a call if you have a question or comment. There's nobody waiting right now. Invasive plants. It's another thing to do this time of year. Now, that's what I think of. The winter bittercress is an invasive. Am I getting that right?
You got it.
Is an invasive plant. And, of course, the garlic mustard, too.
Yeah, the garlic mustard, definitely. The winter bittercress, you know, I'm kind of two minds on that. It does fill an area. I don't know that I'd call it invasive yet. But if it does cause other plants not to grow as well, then I probably would.
Okay.
And so if it's smothering out other plants, so I'm on the fence on that one. I'll get back to you on that.
Okay.
But definitely garlic mustard. And quite a few of these species who have recently been put on the list by the Ohio Department of Agriculture.
That's right.
We talked about
it last
time.
We did a show on that, right.
38 plants that are on the list, and some of them are favorites of people who have gardens, like burning bush,
mm-hmm.
which is a big one.
Yeah, we're
yeah.
getting ready
but
to...
there's this wonderful plant called Hearts Abustin. Or loves a bustin. It depends on where you come from. And it is the Euonymus americana.
Okay.
So it is the American native, and it has beautiful fruit. And we just have to get some nurseries to start stocking that and getting it so that we can plant that instead of the invasive Euonymus elatus, which I think, I'm trying to remember if it's, I think it's Eurasian.
Mm-hmm.
So we should be planting our native, Hearts Abustin.
You know, I noticed that they took down, speaking of invasive, the Bradford pear.
Mm-hmm.
They took in one of the exits off 315, which was just covered in it.
Yeah.
Last year, they've taken all of them away, but mm-hmm. it's still out there. I mean, I don't know how they're ever going to catch up with that.
And they're starting to come into bloom.
Yeah.
So it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately,
it's invasive.
But I'm kind of waiting to see, you know, who's going to win, the Amur honeysuckle or the calorie pear. It's a battle because the calorie pear gets taller, so it has potential to shade out
mm-hmm.
the honeysuckle. But the honeysuckle just, wow, it's tenacious.
Yeah. Yeah, people have been working on that for years and years mm-hmm. now. Mm-hmm. Thanks to Andrea Coble in Mount Gilead for your pledge of support today. My guest, Deborah Kanapke, and I are talking about spring gardening today. Actually, she's talking about it. I'm asking the questions and soaking up the information. Remember, this is listener-supported 89.7 NPR News. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. It is our spring membership drive, and I'd like to ask you to, like Andrea Coble, to support the in-depth conversations we bring you every day. You only find this kind of news and information on public radio. Support 89.7 NPR News at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And this is a very special time to become a member because we have a great thank you gift. For $10 a month as a sustainer, join us for a fun night out. We call it Drinks and Dirt. We have a Q&A session about spring plants. We have drinks and hors d'oeuvres, and everyone makes their own spring planter to take home. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. People have told us that they want to have experiences. Now, you know, there's lots of stuff, other stuff, you know, that we offer during our membership drives, but this has become very, very popular, and it makes sense. You know, if you're a longtime supporter of public media, you have probably plenty of swag and stuff. This is the kind of experience people have said they enjoy. And we had that couple last year who said, if you did this, we'd give every year just like this, just to do
mm-hmm.
something like this.
Yep.
It's a lot of fun. And people make friends with other 89.7 NPR fans and fans of All Sides with Ann Fisher and that kind of a thing. It's a blast. You know, Deb and I get to most of the tables. We talk to everybody we can, and
mm-hmm.
we're certainly welcome any interaction. It's a lot of fun. And then I think maybe we might have an intern or two around to take people on tours tours of the studios and show people where all the magic happens. 866-897-9678, though, is the number to call. Support 89.7 NPR News at any level of support. If you can afford 50 cents a day, maybe add that up. What does it come up to? And then, Deb, the human computer will figure that out for me. Then you could maybe think, I'll pledge that much a month, or maybe it's 50 cents a week, or maybe it's $1 a week, or whatever it is. Figure out what you can afford. Maybe it's $20 a make. Maybe it's $200. Maybe it's $240, and you can bring a friend to the Drinks and Dirt. Whatever it is, though, for you, that's all we're asking from you. This event is Thursday, May 17th at 6 p.m. at the $10 a month sustainer level. Each guest receives all the materials and hands-on instruction to create their very own planner. There'll be free parking at this event, which is the Fawcett Center on Ohio State's campus. This is a public radio member-only event. That's $10 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $120, and get access to this event. Get your ticket now. We have limited number of tickets. Go online to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And people who come, they're all different levels of interest in gardening or experience, I should say. Everybody's very interested in it, but they have all different levels of experience.
And I even ask, you know, who's a gardener? And then there are some people that don't raise their hands, and obviously they've been dragged to this experience, but they have a good time too. So if you were to do 50 cents a day, it's actually more. It's $181.50.
So asking for $120.
Right. So that's less than 50 cents a day.
Right. For less than 50 cents a day, do you listen to 89.7 NPR News every day? Is it worth 50 cents a day? We're asking for less than that for you to participate and go with us to our Drinks and Dirt event on March 17th at 6 p.m.
So I looked up the little cardamome hirsuta, which is the botanical name.
She insists on using the technical terms, of course.
Of the winter bittercress, which is what we call it. But in here, they call it the hairy bittercress. Yep. So you know what? Common names are variable. And we've always known that.
But The Latin is always fixed.
Well, it's not always, because there's always some taxonomist out there who wants to play with things. But this has been cardamome hirsuta for a while. It was something else before cardamome, but I've forgotten what that was. But now I know it's this. But now I see that we have a different common name in this book that I brought with me, which are the weeds of the Northeast. I had to get my books in
Deborah
here.
Deborah always brings books in.
Somehow.
I don't even know how you can carry this many books. Let's talk about what kind of edible plants we might have in our planter.
Well, I sent a list, and I put in nasturtiums, which is one of my favorites because you can eat the leaves and the flowers. And I might have put in the little tangerine gem or lemon gem. Marigolds.
Okay.
They're tiny, and you want to use the petals, but don't eat the whole flower because the calyx is kind of stringy and kind of choky.
Okay.
Let's see. What else did I put in? I talked about dianthus. Those are the little carnations. Mm-hmm. Again, the flower petals have this clove scent and this perfume.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I would love it if we had violets, like pansies or violets. And those, I made violet liqueur. It's gone now. But it was very tasty. You know, the weeds in my lawn, I made liqueur.
You could use the wild violets that grow all over the place?
Right. Sure can.
Okay. I've got the recipe for that.
Yeah. It's easy. Uses Everclear.
Okay.
So you only drink this much, which is...
Wow.
For those of you who aren't looking at this, it's not much because as it goes down, it's like, ooh. And it was used as an aperitif. To kind of cleanse the palate between the courses, and also violet can settle your stomach, and just it's nice, gentles you out. So pansies, the little Johnny Jump Up. So I'm not exactly sure what
book
it,
or, I mean,
now those, I've never eaten those.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if those are edible or not.
I don't know why I thought they were.
But all of the flowers of your herbs,
yep.
I will use the flowers of dill and fennel in my salads.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. The flowers of basil, the flowers of chives.
Right.
Really good.
Really pretty, yeah.
And if you make a risotto and you have your chives in bloom, then you take some, and as you serve it, you just sprinkle the top with chive blossoms. It's really beautiful.
It's not surprising. A lot of our conversations about plants
end up with
deteriorate. Talking about food, but nobody's calling us. So,
I know, that's okay.
You know, you
so
can't
you're
stop
with
us if you don't call us with your own questions about your spring garden. Please don't be depressed by this weather. This gives you more time to plan.
I just thought of something.
Yes.
The dandelions are in bloom, and those are edible, too.
Okay.
We can make dandelion wine. You've kind of, if
the
they're
leaves
in,
or the flowers?
The flowers.
Okay.
Now, we've already passed the greens phase, unless you like your greens really bitter, because once dandelions bloom, the greens get really bitter. But the root can be dried and ground up or chopped up and used as a tea. Mm. It has a flavor similar to chicory, which was used as a coffee substitute.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to caution you, if you are drinking dandelion tea, go slowly. It is an extreme diuretic. Which
All right,
means you
duly
will be
noted.
Going to the bathroom real quickly after you drink it. I can drink about 2 cups a day, and then that's it. I will have a little bit of a stomach upset if I drink more than 2 cups, and that would be 2 12-ounce cups.
Well, what are the benefits?
They are an anti-inflammatory.
Okay, it's good to know.
They also are an antioxidant, antifungal, antibacterial.
Holy Toledo.
And, well, there have been some people who have said that if they were on a desert island, the one plant that they would want to have would be the dandelion.
What do you know?
Yeah. All parts of it are usable. And if you could choke it down, you could even eat the seeds and the fluff, although I don't think I could do that.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of hard.
I have to stir that up in some yogurt.
Yeah, that's right. There we go. Back to food again.
Back to the food.
But the all parts of it are usable. It was used medicinally. The leaves were used in poultices because of the antibacterial function of them and put and used on wounds. So there's a lot going on with the dandelion. And I know that some people vilify this little European native, but it is really a handy herb. Some people say it came over on the boots of folks who came over to the New World, but it was purposefully brought as a pot herb by others, and then it escaped because of its usefulness.
It's not as much of a hassle as it used to be. I've gotten it down to a dull roar.
Mm-hmm.
The dandelions, they don't bother me a bit.
And if your lawn
to the winter bittercress,
yeah, that's right, that's more of a pain. And if your lawn is healthy,
mm-hmm.
it will often choke out the dandelions.
Yeah, exactly. We are going to take some questions. If you have a question or comment for Deb Kanapke, give us a call, 614-292-8513. We still have plenty of lines open. Also, email us at allsides@wosu.org. But before we do, I just want to remind you that locally run and locally programmed 89.7 NPR News exists to make sure that everyone in Central Ohio and well beyond, as we know,
New York City,
it is all the way to New York City, have access to vital news and information with locally focused programs such as All Sides with Ann Fisher. 89.7 NPR News addresses issues that impact our community at local, regional, and national levels. It's valuable radio, but it relies on your donations. I'm thinking all the time about what's next. What are we going to talk about next? What are people talking about? It's an ongoing process. We have a staff of people here that are working on this all the time. Please give now at WOSU.org or by phone at 866-897-9678. And thanks to Samba in Columbus for your pledge of support. Follow up on Samba. Show your support for public radio. It's community radio. That's why 89.7 NPR News brings you a show like this one. Not every radio station, not every public radio station has a show like this. All Sides works hard to bring you shows every day that capture the news, politics, and cultural interests of our unique region. This powerful service helps you understand Central Ohio just a bit more, whether it's the politics or whether it's the plants.
Mm-hmm.
That just rolled off the tongue.
That was really nice.
866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Let's see. Jackie in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Jackie.
Hi.
Hi there. I have a question about asparagus, since Deborah mentioned asparagus mm-hmm. earlier. I've had my asparagus in, this will be the third year. Last year, it came up. It did not produce. And this year, it's all weed overlain, and I haven't seen a bit of it. Should I be hopeful and think it is going to come up and clear those weeds away, or like you, should I plant some new asparagus?
So you said it didn't produce last year, so you got no big, bushy, above ground.
No, I got that.
Okay.
No, I got the little soft fronds. I didn't get any spears. Like
okay.
I was expecting a few little spears that I could, you know,
yeah.
gingerly eat.
Well, those are your spears. What turns into that big, frothy, beautiful display, those are your spears. And what happened is you might have missed them. There's sometimes a short window. And that you're not seeing your asparagus now, right now, is not really a surprise. It's been so cold. They have been slow to emerge. Mine have just started to emerge in the old bed. So take a look again. If you don't get any this year, or you only get a few fronds coming up, maybe that means that wasn't the right place, or the soil is too heavy, too clayey. They need well-draining soil and loose soil. So replant and really amend that soil again, make it looser, and maybe check out Purple Passion.
Because that's Deb's new thing. Jackie, thanks a lot for that call. You know, I've never grown asparagus myself, but I found a patch of wild-growing asparagus along the side of a road one time. And I was so lucky. And what I think it might have been was a garden 150,000 mm-hmm. years ago with
yep.
somebody. That's the only thing I can think of. But I remember I picked enough that day to make some asparagus soup. And there is nothing like fresh picks asparagus.
It's the best.
It's the absolute best.
Mm-hmm.
Just love it. Carol in Dublin, you're on the air. Hi, Carol.
Hi. I just wanted to mention that there's another native euronymus. It's called the Eastern Wahoo. It's a shrub that really has these pretty four-capsuled flowers. Now, I don't see it around here, but I had one in my yard in Wisconsin, native, and I don't know if they sell it, but it does look a lot like a burning bush.
The Eastern Wahoo is the same as Hearts a Bustin' and Love a Bustin'.
Okay.
It's that common name thing again.
Okay.
The Eastern Wahoo. That is Euonymus americana. Thank you for that.
And Deb saying if they will start providing them at the...
I'd buy them.
Yeah. I mean, so, all right. Well, good to know.
Mm-hmm.
Carol, thanks for that call. This is a special time to become a member of 89.7 NPR News. We have a great thank you gift. I want to just remind listeners, for $10 a month as a sustainer, join us for a fun night out called Drinks and Dirt. We have a Q&A session about spring plants. We have drinks and hors d'oeuvres. Everyone makes their own spring planter to take home. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. This event is on May 17th at 6 p.m. You're in and out within 2 hours. It's pretty much of a blast. It's very busy. But a lot of fun. Each guest receives all the materials and hands-on instruction to create their very own planter. And Deborah Kanapke, the Ohio's Garden Sage, is wandering the room, answering people's questions, helping them with their work. There's free parking at this event. It's at the Fawcett Center on the Ohio State campus. This is a public radio member-only event. That's $10 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $120. And get access to the event. Get your ticket now. We have a limited number of tickets. Go on online to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. That's 866-897-9678. Make that call right now. And if you can't manage $120, perfectly understandable. Do what you can. Thanks to Nan Shirley in Dublin for your pledge. Appreciate that, Nan. Do what you can. Show your support at doing what you can. We have Central Ohioans right across the hall, taking your calls right now. If you want to make that call at 866-897-9678, that's how they show their support for 89.7 NPR News. Other people show their support in other ways, volunteering in other ways. You can show your support right now by trying to figure out where the intersection is of what you value 89.7 with what you can afford. 866-897-9678. We really enjoy these events. This will be our third one, I think. Mm-hmm. Our third event.
Right.
The first one was succulents. The second one last spring was herbs. And this one is going to be a little, probably an herby
sort
combo.
Herby, edible flower combo.
Kind of a combo thing. And Deb will answer all of your spring planting questions, too. That comes right after the plant sale.
Plant sale at Chadwick Arboretum
plant
that weekend
sale.
Before.
So you get all your plants that weekend at the Chadwick Arboretum plant sale, and then you can come and talk to Deb about what to do with them.
And I know that you don't have a place for every single one of those plants you bought from the plant sale, do you?
Yes, so I never do.
So I will help you figure out where they go.
866-897-9678 is the number to call to show your support right now. Don't wait. 866-897-9678. And Dante in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Dante.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Fine, thank you.
Doing well. Go ahead.
I got a question. I have to. So for probably the past 7 years, I've had Muscat grapes in the backyard, and started from a small clipping, and now it's probably across my fence and my neighbors. And
they do
so
that
in the when it's they, yeah, my neighbors are really happy about it. So
he sounds a little hectic. Yeah. Okay. Go
ahead. Yeah. So my question is like. Once the leaves are out and the fruit starts showing, are you supposed to thin out the vine? I had a friend, a farmer, that told me that whatever you have clusters, the grapes are supposed to be open to the sun and et cetera. And aside from my daughter randomly picking grapes when I'm not watching, I have a pretty good show of grapes, but they never really reach full. Like sweetness and I guess the idea of what the grape should be.
Okay. And they do need sun to do that. That's very important. There are different ways that you can prune grapes. And a lot of times grapes are pruned before you can see the leaves emerging. So when they're in their dormant phase, so you can kind of open things out or thin some out. If you're noticing that your grapes, though, are inside, then you can do some corrective pruning, but you're losing some of the energy of your vines if you're doing it once they've leafed out. Mm. There are various books that talk about pruning your grape vines, and there's a great fact sheet on the Ohio Line fact sheets that are connected with the Horticulture Department at Ohio State University that tell you how to prune your grapes. And that would be something to take a look at. Since it's Muscat and they are quite vigorous, most grapes are.
What's Muscat? Tell us. Is it a sweet?
It's a sweet grape.
Okay.
It's a table grape.
Okay.
And the Muscat wines are very sweet.
Moscato, that kind of thing?
Similar.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So I would look at some of those guides, some of those fact sheets, and just put into your preferred search engine. Pruning Muscat grapes. Muscat, yeah.
Okay. Dante, before you go, I wanted to ask you, what do you do with your grapes?
What do I do with them?
Yeah.
truthfully speaking, I started them right before my daughter was born because I'm from northeastern Ohio, and I grew up going to grape orchards as a kid on field trips, but they don't do that here for some reason. So to get her to understand that grapes don't come wrapped in plastic and ready to go, and they actually taste very different than what you get at a store.
Uh-huh.
I started them for my daughter.
Oh, okay, cool.
And so we eat them, and then we use the leaves later for like pickled grape leaves and other dishes.
Yeah,
like
nice.
Yeah, I was thinking, of course, grape jelly, but that's how my mind goes. It's immediately like if you add a cup of sugar,
I was thinking stuffed grape leaves myself.
Well, it never makes it that far because as soon as she sees there's grapes, and you know, Scott, you can smell them when they're ready. So they're gone. They're absolutely gone.
Thanks, so, Dante, for your call.
But Oh, thank you very much. And y'all both have a good day.
You too. Take care. Thanks to Teresa Ballantyne in Dublin for your pledge of support today. Remember, it is our spring membership drive. Support the in-depth conversations we bring to you every day. You only find this kind of news and information on public radio. Support 89.7 NPR News at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. We have just about 15 minutes left. I'd love to get 10 pledges in 15 minutes. And I'd love it if every single one of them were coming, you know, people who are buying the ticket to the Drinks and Dirt event on on May 17th. But if you can't manage that, understandable. Just show your support at whatever level feels good to you. The event is May 17th at 6 p.m. Each guest receives materials and hands-on instruction to create their very own planter. There'll be free parking and the event which is at the Fawcett Center, which is where our studios are. This is a public radio member only event. That's $10 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $120 and get access to this event. Get your ticket now. We have a limited number of tickets. Go online to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. That's 866-897-9678. 897-9678. And we're asking you to support us at $10 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $120 to get access to that event. Deb?
Can I put a plug in for my favorite photographer?
Yes.
Ohio Landscapes and Gardens?
Sure.
Ian Adams is going to be at the Ohio History Center on this Thursday night at 7 o'clock. It's part of the Friends of the Ohio Governor's Residence and Heritage Garden Speaker Series. And it is $35, and it supports the garden and the house. And if you want to sign up, you can go to the website of the Friends of the Ohio Governor's Residence and Heritage Garden, or you can just show up at 6:45, not 7, and sign in at the door, at the door.
Right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Maybe we could post a link to that on our website at wosu.org/allsides, too. An email from Kyla. She says, a friend recently told me that I don't need to rotate crops in raised beds as long as I add new layers of organic matter every year because it buries pathogens. Is that true?
No.
I was going to say it better not be.
You do need to rotate crops in your raised beds. The pathogens can work their way through soil. I do know that if you put compost in, you make the soil healthier and it can fight some of those pathogens. But if you put tomatoes in the same bed for 3 to 4 years in a row, you will notice that your tomatoes get increased disease, signs and whatever. So I would suggest that you do rotate your beds and continue to put compost in so the beds stay healthy and can fight pathogens that are in there, because you have good guys and bad guys, and the good guys eat the bad guys and the bad guys eat the good guys. You know, it's like the Wild West out there. So I would rotate.
Last year, where I had been putting my tomatoes the year before, I planted a whole bed of zinnias instead. Now, could I bring the tomatoes back this year, and will that have been enough? Or
I give it.
Are flowers hard on soil?
They can be, and crops like corn, they really take it out of the soil, which is why people would put soybeans or beans back in after corn to put the nitrogen
back
in.
But zinnias?
I don't know specifically how much they take out, but I would wait more than just 1 year to put my tomatoes back in. I'd probably think more like on the level of 4 to 5.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid you were going to say.
Yeah, yeah. It takes a while, and keep putting that compost in. And I keep saying I'm going to try this, and I haven't yet. So if anyone out there has tried this, let me know if it works. I want to put in some hot chicken compost into some areas in my garden and see if that burns those suckers out.
Speaking of things adding to the garden, email from Denise. She says, I have seen advice online about adding things to soil when you plant vegetables, such as eggshells, coffee grounds, and even fish heads. Is any of this really beneficial, or is it just people making things up?
Some of it can be in the old wives' tale column, but eggshells, you have to chop them up really fine, and it takes a while for the calcium to get into the soil, but that is important for anything that makes fruit. As to fish heads, it adds your potassium and nitrogen. Not potassium, just nitrogen.
Okay.
And calcium from the bones, and it was an old technique used by native peoples on this continent. As to coffee grounds, do not put raw coffee grounds into the soil. You need to compost that.
Okay.
They are too acidic, too much tannins in them, and they can cause more root problems than put nutrition into the soil. So they should be composted first. I have from time to time scattered some coffee grounds on top, especially if I'm going after slugs. I'm not sure it helps. Anecdotally, I've noticed the slugs are less underneath my hostas where I've scattered some coffee grounds, but that was not a scientific experiment.
Okay. If you have another question and you want to send an email, it's allsides@wosu.org, or you can call us at 614-292-8513. We have about 9 minutes left, and we have 9 calls to go, 9 shows of support left to go, 9 pledges. Make your pledge one of those 9 pledges. 866-897-9678. This is listener-supported 89.7 NPR News, and this is All Sides with Ann Fisher. Joining us today is Ohio's garden sage, Deborah Kanapke. Deb will join us in May for our special event, Drinks and Dirt. Make a gift of $10 a month as a sustainer and get a ticket. You'll join us for drinks, light hors d'oeuvres, and a Q&A session, and you'll make your own spring planner to take home. It's been a lot of fun the last 2 years. I hope you can join us this year. That's $10 a month as a sustainer. Right now, don't miss this opportunity. Make a gift of $10 a month or a one-time gift of $120. It can be withdrawn from your checking account or charged to your credit card. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. That's 866-897-9678. And make that show of support right now. This event, It's you know, you receive all the materials and hands-on instruction, but you also have Deb Kanapke there, right there with you. You can ask questions. She can respond just right there. And you have. I mean, people ask great questions, even as we're actually, even after the Q&A thing, you know, people are still asking questions. And I've heard them say, well, should I do this? And you're like, no. Do it this way. Mm-hmm. And people learn right on the spot from one of the best in the business. 866-897-9678 is the number to call to show your support. You listen to 89.7 NPR News because you treasure a vibrant and open-minded community where people are engaged, where people work together to make Central Ohio a great place to live. That's why this station is dedicated to a two-hour daily local show like All Sides. We're here for Columbus, Powell, Grove City, Pickerington, Dublin, and beyond. Stand behind the service you care about and rely on, because there is a difference between a station that just gets by and one that's a centerpiece of a vibrant civic community such as ours. That difference is you and your support. Visit WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678 and show your support right now. Donna in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Donna.
Hi.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So here's my question. I love peppers, and my husband says you should grow them since you buy so many of them. And so I've had a little, I only have a little area for our garden, and I eat tomatoes and peppers and a few herbs. And I do compost, but I've not had very good success with the peppers. I usually get a few, and they just don't seem to do real well. Listening to what you've talked about so far, maybe it's because I've done the tomatoes there for several years. But do you have any other suggestions if you only have one little spot to put? So they need a lot of sun, I understand.
Containers. Grow them in containers.
What else makes them work?
Well, try containers, and then you can move them into the sun. You can grow peppers very successfully in containers. Some that I grow a lot are the New Mex, the jalapeno. I love my poblanos, and I usually get a ton of poblanos. I also grow paprikas, which are not a spicy one, but I love the mild taste of a paprika, and sometimes I'll just stuff those with a cheese mixture or whatever, with the food. I know. I mean, you can't talk about chilies and not talk about food. But again, it needs a loose mix, and you don't want to drown these plants. They do like to dry out some, not totally, but they are drought tolerant plants. They do like a moderately average to a little bit rich soil, but not too rich. Otherwise, they'll grow great plants, but not make great chilies. So try those things. Like you said, you have a small garden space, but don't forget those containers. You can grow a lot in containers, and just one single pepper and let it go.
And move it around.
And move it around.
Follow the sun.
Yeah, I had a habanero that kept me in habaneros for about 5 years. I think it had to be about 100 fruits.
Wow.
It was amazing.
Oh, you just kept getting the seeds from the next?
No. It was one plant, had about 100 fruits. It was huge. It was it was about 4 feet tall and about 2.5 feet wide, and it just kept on bearing all summer. It was amazing.
Donna, thanks a lot for that call. We appreciate it. We appreciate all the calls we get. If you want to show your support and tell us that you appreciate what we do for you every day on 89.7 NPR News, what we do for you on All Sides with Ann Fisher, this is the time to call and show your support. Public radio is community radio. That's why 89.7 News, NPR News, brings you a show like this one. All Sides works hard to bring you shows every day that capture the news, the politics, and cultural interests of our new unique region. This powerful service helps you understand Central Ohio just a bit more with stories that impact your life, your work, and your family. But it's powered by you. That's what makes it special. Show your support right now, WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. Locally run, locally programmed. 89.7 NPR News exists to make sure that everyone in Central Ohio has access to vital news and information. This is your opportunity to show your support and help people that maybe don't have the resources you have get their vital news and information. Get a ticket for an All Sides with Ann Fisher exclusive event. We're calling it Drinks and Dirt on May 17th from 6 to 8 p.m. Join me and Deborah Kanapke for a special Q&A session. Have drinks and light hors d'oeuvres. Make your own spring planner to take home. For a membership of $10 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $120, you can get a very special offer. The spring planner will feature some edible flowers. We've been talking about that this hour. And you don't miss a chance to have a great night out supporting public radio. Thanks to Jeremy and Susan King in Granville for your support. That's $10 a month as a sustaining member. There are more details about the event at WOSU.org or by calling 866-897-9678. Once again, you will be talking with, when you call that number this hour, you'll be talking with other Central Ohioans who have your same interests in mind. They want to support their local public radio station, 89.7 NPR News. The number is 866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Parting thoughts, words of hope for spring planters.
It will get warmer. It will get warmer.
And God is my witness.
I know, it will. And just think, everything's going to happen at once. You'll be going nuts for the month of May, but it will be glorious to be outside and work. I've been working in the cold in my garden from the edge.
Just get to the weeds right now.
Yeah, get to the weeds and plant your asparagus. And I'm hoping to plant my peas this Friday.
Okay.
I have the bed ready.
Okay.
It's just the soil is so darn cold.
Exactly. It's cold and it's wet, too.
It's wet. So I'm hoping that maybe, you know, we are going to get warmer.
Remember, this is listener-supported WOSU-FM and HD1 Columbus. Deborah Kanapke, thanks so much for joining us today.
It's been a pleasure, as always.
That's Deborah Kanapke, Ohio's Garden Sage, author, teacher, lecturer, and blogger, and a frequent guest on 89.7 NPR News, All Sides with Ann Fisher. Your support pays for the programs you listen to every day. Programs like All Sides and all the other great NPR programs like On Point, Here and Now, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. These programs are paid for with listener support. And in return for your membership, we're offering you the great gift, a ticket to our Drinks and Dirt event. Have a fun night out and make your own spring planner to take home. This planner features some edible flowers. There's more information about the event at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. It's a unique thank you gift for your support of $10 a month or a one one-time gift of $120 a month. And as Deborah Kanapke mentioned earlier, it'd make a great Mother's Day gift, maybe for a spouse, maybe for your mother, maybe for a mother-in-law, maybe for somebody special in your life that you just want to say thanks to. It doesn't have to be just for you. It's not always just about you. It can be about someone you love. This event is Thursday, May 17th at the Fawcett Center on Ohio State's campus from 6 to 8 p.m. It includes free parking. This is listener-supported WOSU-FM and HD1 Columbus, online at WOSU.org. It's a service of WOSU Public Media, 89.7 NPR News. We're global, we're local. Join us at the Fawcett Center on the Ohio State campus with free parking for our Drinks and Dirt event on May 17th from 6 to 8 p.m. Call now, 866-897-9678 to get your tickets. You can also go to WOSU.org, learn more about the event, and get your tickets there, too. Thanks for listening today. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.